Type, is there photographs from Baghdad here? I don't know.
Yes, I have some photographs.
Hala, you're the only one of the kids who was born in Baghdad?
Whether I was born in Baghdad or not is
debatable?
Yes, sort of. I mean, technically speaking, I was born in Beirut. I mean,
you were delivered in a hospital in Beirut.
Yes, but recently, I think, for some reasons I'm not quite clear about, I'm registered now as born in Baghdad.
Okay.
But I mean, the Lebanese document says born in Beirut.
A birth certificate.
Yes.
There is a birth certificate that says you're born in Beirut. So, your mother is Lebanese?
She is Lebanese, yes.
Yeah? And so when she...
But she was born in Haifa.
She was born in Haifa. Yeah. And so she must have moved, of course, to Baghdad then, when they married. But she was Lebanized, and she had a Lebanese passport.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Is this something you have asked about?
No, I haven't asked it. I don't know. There's a kind of dissuasion, or it's not quite clear. Or I don't know why it's never like you sit down and you say, these are the dates, this is what's happening.
I have done that. I have sat down with my mother, masalan, and asked her, when did they move to Beirut? Because they did the same thing. They left in 47, 48, my mother's family.
Okay.
From Birze to Beirut.
Ah, really?
Yeah. You didn't know this?
No.
And they left behind supposedly a lot of property and land in Birze and Lutz. But it's nothing I knew about until I was in America.
Okay.
And years later. But I have sat down and asked. My grandfather came, of course, with my mother. And they all moved, including my grandfather, who I have asked at some point, like those stories of Palestine. How would you not ask?
I know.
That was at no point did this stuff become important? You know, to hear, hatta of all the stories of how people left Palestine, masalan. And okay, you might have read about, people were forced out, Amma, they left, Amma. And no, at least one, I mean, I went to this story of my mother just to see, like, what was her story, at least, if I can't check anyone else's. My mother is a similar figure, right? She rarely wants to talk about this stuff because, and it's complicated, right? Why people don't want to talk about this stuff. But would you have no interest, masalan, in the form of the distortion, yani the distorted story she's going to tell you, does it matter to you?
No, you know, I'm not very much concerned with this.
With this kind of limit, yani? This
with this, I was born, we went, we came, we...
But Hala, you had to clearly come across this when you were applying for the passport, no? Or this did not even come up recently?
What did it come
up? When you got your Iraqi passport.
Yes.
Did you have to provide documents?
Yes.
About what, masalan? About your the fact that your father is Iraqi?
He is Iraqi.
So you had to provide documents for that?
Yes.
Which consisted of his passport or things like that?
We sent passports. I still have some relatives in Beirut, in Baghdad, and they went there and confirmed. And we sent Lebanese documents, which say I was born in Beirut, and then I got the passport. It says I was born in Baghdad. Mm.
You got a document from Baghdad saying you were born in Baghdad?
Yes.
They had some kind of register that you... There's a birth certificate there, too.
I'm not sure. Maybe there's a document that says we are requesting a transfer of the city where he was born from Beirut to Baghdad. This is interesting for me, but I didn't ask for it. Mm. But that it happened, I think, is one of those things that I, as a thinker, is interested in. It's interesting that the author of Undeserving Lebanon sends his documents, gets back from Baghdad, that he was born not in Beirut, but in Baghdad. It's like, if I had wanted to do it, it wouldn't have succeeded this way. I'm sure if I had asked for it, they would have said, you need to provide 59 other documents for us to be able to do this. But no, you provide a simple document from Lebanon, certified. You were born in Lebanon. And no, it's now Baghdad.
Baghdad, for you, has had a special place in the writings. Especially during, masalan, the sanctions period.
Yes. The sanctions for me were more traumatic than the Gulf War, the two Gulf Wars. يعني انت هيك undercurrent بس main thrust is Lebanon.
لا حس في مثلا الأول عمل عملته هذا اسمه Dead Weight of a Coral Hands. It's a video work. It's about a woman who takes objects from the house. This, there is, masalan, a very pronounced narrative of somebody who travels from Birzeit to Amman, to Beirut.
But say that one work.
Yeah. But, masalan, I have a very clear sense of why I became interested in trauma. And it has nothing to do with the civil war in Lebanon. Mm-hmm. Absolutely nothing. And it has to do with مرة مثلا سألت أختي وخيي على موضوع معين عائلي وخبروني قصص كأنه أنا مش موجود يعني كنت موجود وأخذنا قرارات سوا على موضوع معين وكأنك أنت مش موجود يعني ذاكرتك أنت لهالأشياء مختلفة كليا بشكل مش بس هيك بسيط يعني أنت you believe the exact opposite. You're convinced. The character that you were is your brother actually. أنه أنا ما كنت كان خيي بس هاي ذاكرتي. And I had no and I couldn't fathom كيف هيك أولاد عمرهم 10 سنين 9 سنين 12 سنة بياخدوا قرار مثل هيدا أما أنت ذاكرتك عندك صور عندك ريحة عندك ألوان منهم لك إلا حدا تاني كليا هيدا بالنسبة إلي كان مؤثر أكثر من مثلا الحرب
أوكي
أما هلأ وتفكر فيه صرت أكثر وإلى علاقة مثلا بإمتين ترك إمتين العائلة تركت فلسطين يا ترى ليش احنا ما عرفنا انه امي من هالبلد وليه انا جدي وستي اللي كانوا عايشين بلبنان فجاه 75 تركوا وليه ما عرفنا انه ليش تركوا لانه انا ربيان كمان مع ستي وجدي وخالتي انه هيك فضلوا من نهار للتاني ما عرفنا وين صاروا راحوا على الاردن بس مش واعيين انه ليه بتروحوا على الاردن ويا ترى هل هالحدث التاني له علاقه شيء مثلا ب وقتها كانوا كمان بالمنطقة الشرقية عندنا كانوا القوات اللبنانية يجوا ياخذوا الشباب ويجندون بقى اجت بفترة كمان كانوا عم بيجندونا ويبعثونا على الجبل يعني تطلع الضيعة عندك بتحارب يعني تطلع تحارب لترجع انه تسترجع ضيعتك اللي عايشين فيها الدروز كانوا وقتها عايشين فيها طول عمرهم عايشين فيها بس انه لانك انت من المنطقة صاروا ياخذوك ويطلعوك لفوق وهيك تراكمت عدة اشياء it's هلا ما فيك تقول انه هالحدث فيك تفصله عن الحرب او عن فلسطين او عن ما بعرف عن كل ما فيك كانوا كلهم نفس الحدث نفس الشغله بس انه at 12 or 13 there was no way I could have split them and there's this thread I had no clue. And they only came back when I saw pictures of these objects that used to be in our house And that all of a sudden now they had become in my mother's house. And I would look at family pictures, and in the background, and then, my God. And reading Proust at the time. تصور عم تقرا بروست و
around what age?
When we met, 91.
Okay, 1991.
But then it became important to مثلا know those details for and the only thing I actually found out was شو عرفت ساعتها؟ لا عرفت كثير ايدتهم كلهم. طيب at AUB, when you entered, you're entering as pre-med, right? So you're taking, I assume, like biology classes and what have you. And then you take the CS course.
You have to.
Everybody's taking them. Who was it with? Do you remember?
No.
Okay. You recognized something in these texts? What is it that you saw in these texts that said, was it?
It's the thinking. Plus, in the case of Nietzsche, the style.
But what was it that even... yani seduced you to this language, to the prose, to the thinking.
I don't. Remember.
Nothing sticks in your mind, مثلا.
No. The one thing that sticks in my mind is this is like the philosopher who says we can read systems as sort of symptoms, and so you read you need like a doctor who reads the system and says this implies this about the health, the sickness. And so I don't recall now his exact terms, but it was a recommendation for the philosopher, almost doctor, who can read the symptoms of health and sickness. And so it was even then striking to me that I was reading this philosopher and then changing to philosophy. When it would seem by chance I'm in the exact right position. I am doing my biology and then pre-med and then become a doctor, and then I can pursue exactly his program. No, I changed. Other than this, I don't...
Nietzsche more than any other writer you read that semester?
Nietzsche more than anybody. You have the sense, it's thought-provoking, but really, thought is not being provoked. So you're changing elsewhere, but you're still not thinking. And then, actually, you're moving to philosophy for, in a certain way, the wrong reasons. Because you're not really understanding what Nietzsche is saying. And again, Nietzsche is telling you it's good to be a doctor and a philosopher together, with a hyphen. But there's something somewhere, an intuition, if you want, maybe you're collaborating with yourself in an untimely manner with me. I need you to, I don't know. There is something that tells you I have to be elsewhere.
If you trace a kind of a trajectory, then from that of those days, what would it look like in terms of the particular interest that you said, okay? Today, looking back, you say, okay, Nietzsche was kind of important. Did you say I have to read Nietzsche now? I have to just do all of Nietzsche.
Yes, not all, but I read a lot of Nietzsche.
In an academic sense, like in a classroom,
No, it was my reading.
On your own?
Yes, then I changed to philosophy, and then I think one interesting class was a class on Hegel's Phenomenology of Spirit. And that was an encounter. Hegel is an encounter.
Yeah.
And not just himself, but Kojève reading Hegel. So at that early point, Kojève Hegel was so imposing. It was just monumental, I remember. And then Kojève's incredibly intelligent, persuasive reading of the dual of recognition, desire, all of this. So that class was not the teacher himself, but being exposed to Hegel and Kojève was important to me. I mean, I think oftentimes I get to moments where I encounter a thought, a kind of filmmaking, where I feel, leave it to this philosopher, filmmaker. And then I move to something else.
Hmm.
Hegel and Nietzsche maybe can do this too. One, in very different ways. Nietzsche, it's the style and the writing. It's for me at that point, it was, I mean, it's done. I mean, this is it. What can you do more than this? I mean, everything, the thinking, the writing, it's the elegance, the nobility, it's there. If you go to Hegel, it's the system. Such a powerful system. So the systematic philosophy, you feel, it's done so well, so imposingly. And the aphoristic style thinking has been done also so well. Then I went to cinema.
This was, in a way, this is, now I hear the Jalal that I know today talk.
Mm-hmm. No, but it was in vaguer terms why I moved to cinema. Mm. Then it repeated itself in cinema. Tarkovsky, Parajdanov. So I left cinema.
Yes, even at that time, for example, physics, you said nothing yet. And had you done some, started becoming interested in?
I was beginning, actually. I'm around maybe 82 when I was in Saudi Arabia. I was beginning to read people writing on physics, not just scientists, formulas, but thinking about repercussions, consequences, problematics of what is being done in physics. Mm. So around that period, yes.
And were you aware, the interesting thing I find sometimes is how these things seem continuous in the writing. And they have almost equal weight sometimes. And whether you go to literature, or maybe you go to physics, or maybe you go to cinema, or maybe you go to philosophy. And it's seamless the way they're weaved in the text,
mm-hmm.
around the concept, to think something. When you were reading physics, were you looking at cinema? You were looking at philosophy? Was there yet a sense of the continuity of, a sense of their equivalence as places that you can go to for a concept?
I think it was all present. The issue is not this is physics, this is biology, this is cinema. They are different. The issue is this is successful, rigorous physical theory. This is, to go back now to the terminology of Philip K. Dick, this book of literature creates a universe that doesn't fall apart 2 days later. So the issue is I can't be writing on physics and then go to a piece of garbage that falls apart before it's published and use it in my argument or in my writing next to each other. And maybe earlier I wasn't as good at detecting this doesn't fall apart 2 days later, in quotation marks, 2 days later. That's the only difference. But using all of these, I think it was very early on happening.
Mm. This was kind of, it seemed like يمكن incremental, but almost natural, that it would happen.
I don't think it was even incremental. Again, I think the major difference is this one.
The trust.
The ability, the better ability to detect that I can't use this one with this, not because this is from physics and this is from literature, but because this has fallen apart before it's published. So what am I invoking here? It's not even there. If I had eyes, this painting is not there. You enter and so it's fallen apart before it's actually framed. So how can I write quantum physics and this painting? It's not there.
Yeah. But I'm trying to think what in, مثلاً, in my training at the Frère Mariste, am I going into science and pre-med, there was certainly a sense that one discourse was of a different quality than another.
Yes.
And I think anybody who tends to, maybe training in general in Lebanon, tends to favor certain kinds of sciences over others. The hard physical sciences have a more sober place, and it's treated as more sober than the other sciences. And it was difficult, to get over this at some point. And I needed almost, Freud. Freud was the person who could do it for me, right? Because he comes from medicine, he has the the neuropathologies studies with the collaboration with Breuer, and then the interpretation of dreams. I'm like, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
But I needed a figure like that.
Mm-hmm.
Arskif, who almost is going from let's study neural pathways to the unconscious. And it's quite a leap. Even at that stage. But you did not need this kind of transition.
No.
Type, was death and undeath anywhere in there?
Death, for me, until maybe 1989, was just what most people take it to be. Physical death. And so in Distracted, the first edition, this is what, when I refer to death, it's this.
As for you, it's clear that it's 1989 is when, up until 1989, death meant organic physical demise, and then I rethink this idea.
Yes. And it's linked to something I underwent at that point, described in Distracted. And then that was not enough.
Are you talking about the bad LSD trip?
Yes.
Leshi, why are you...
Because it's not exactly that. Because many people have it and don't read it this way and don't do anything with it. It did this for me. I think part of what was one of the triggering things in thinking in this different way is the question you ask yourself in that state, in that condition. Am I dead? I mean, at least I asked myself. Did I die? How come I'm seeing this? And I think that question you discover later is a question many schizophrenics ask in their condition. Am I dead? Did I die? But Distracted, in a way, I think, is Jalal. And after that, Jalal underwent something maybe you could say bigger than him. So it's distorted Jalal. The living Jalal, I think you can find in Distracted. Like this is sort of a portrait of a thinker-writer. And then there is dying before dying, and then it's him and not him. You can't be completely you after you died before dying. So you can't be completely you after, again, this... trial, this ordeal where Like Nietzsche, you say every name in history is I. That's part of it. Whether you say it or not, it's part of death. So after that part of death, you can never say about any book, this is completely Jalal. Now you've passed through every name in history is I. This is interesting because the style, anyway, is becoming more and more Jalal, but you're no longer exactly you. Now maybe the style and the Jalal are in the second edition. Mm. So this is sort of a portrait. Although even in the second edition, there are places now where death is treated as post-vampires.
Post-vampires, okay.
Yes. So there are places in Distracted where death is just physical demise, and then there are places where we're post-vampires. For me, I'm immortal. Death is not what? It's not this physical demise.
This is a huge thing.
It is a huge thing.
I mean, I can't still get over how massive it seems, even for anyone encountering your work. I think it's the most probably difficult thing for most people to accept. Yani, hatta epistemically, in a way, to think it, to accept it.
But anyway, it should be the thing. I mean, it should be easier to accept than other concepts.
Yeah.
Because I am telling you that you are this.
It's so, not I have experienced this extreme phenomenon.
Yes, you may never have experienced a radical closure. Though I say it's possible our universe is a radical closure. But let's bracket this. But you are immortal for me. And so it should be something that somewhat is easier to accept than other things I've written, that I'm not telling you, you are this. I'm saying this is an extreme case, and most people will go through life never experiencing it or undergoing it. No, I'm telling you, you are sitting now talking to me, and you are dead. So you should, not in a way, in quotation marks, you should know. And I've given this example, which it's one of these examples that seem to confirm what you're doing, from the Bible. In the Bible, and it's interesting, the issue of translation, because it's translated differently according to international New International Version or King James. But God tells Adam and Eve, don't eat of the fruit of the tree of good and evil. By eating it, you die. There's a translation that says, you will die. But the King James is, by eating it, you die. By eating it, he dies. That's immortal. He's dead and alive until he dies physically. But that's one of the confirmations. And it's scary when you reread the text and you find it, because you develop the concept that leads you to say this. And then you're rereading, looking for something else in the Bible, and then you come across it again, and there it is. Now, why is it that people, anyway, if we had like very keen reading of the text, why is it people find this easier to accept than my text? I don't know.
Well, because I'm not sure they're finding it easier to accept.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, strangely enough, I think it might have been it's read, I would think, as if this is like remarkably, in a truly remarkable maybe way, as if it's a metaphor. As if it's like a trope. Yani tsawwar, you are willing to treat the most sacred text, and they might have been careless with this word. And yes, they meant it, but they really didn't mean it.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, well, I mean,
but,
what?
But in a way, I read it like this. I probably, when I was, let's say, at AUB, I read it to mean what another translation says. By eating it, you will die. But the text is so much more interesting. By eating it, you died. But you're walking around, then you're sent to earth, then later you're on the bed and people are around you. Oh my God, Adam will die. But he's dead already and alive. And what they are saying is, they are saying it about Adam. So man, this is actually his name before he dies. Man. So we, you, me, and then you meet people who believe in the Bible, go every day to church or go, like if they're Jewish, go to synagogue, and then they read the text, and you tell them one day, you're dead while alive, and what do you mean by this?